Chapter 7. Married Life. On the day before the shipowner's liabilities became due, the report from the city remained unchanged. Therefore, the special license was put to its planned use. Mrs. Callender's lawyer and maid were the only two people trusted with the secret. The strangely married pair left the chief clerk in charge of Ernest's business and paid every debt in full. Then they left England. They arranged to wait for a few days in Paris. This short stay allowed them to receive any letters of importance which might have been addressed to Ernest during their travel from London. On the evening of their arrival, a telegram from London was waiting at their hotel. It announced that Ernest's missing ship had passed through the English Channel. It had not been discovered previously due to a thick fog on the water. "Do you regret what we have done?" Mrs. Lismore asked her husband. "Not for a moment," he answered. They decided to pursue their journey as far as Munich. Mrs. Lismore's taste for music was equal to Ernest's taste for painting. In his spare hours, he developed his skills in the arts. He delighted in it. The picture galleries of Munich were almost the only galleries in Europe which he had not seen. True to her promise, his wife was ready to go wherever it might please him to take her. The one suggestion she made was that they should rent an apartment rather than stay in a hotel. If they lived at a hotel, their friends may see their names in the guest book. They were soon established in an apartment large enough to provide them with all the room they required. Ernest's days were passed in the galleries. Mrs. Lismore stayed at home, devoted to her music until it was time to go out with her husband for a drive. Living together in perfect agreement, they were, nevertheless, not living happily. Without any visible reason for the change, Mrs. Lismore seemed unhappy. Once when Ernest noticed it, she made an effort to be cheerful. It pained him to see her trying so hard. Thus, he allowed her to think that she had relieved him of any further anxiety. Whatever doubts he might feel were now doubts he quietly hid from that time forward. But when two people are living together in a state of false peace, things happen. It seems to be a rule of nature that trouble gathers out of sight. A crisis will come inevitably in time. 10 days after their arrival in Munich, the crisis came. Ernest returned home later than usual from the picture gallery. Then, for the first time in his wife's experience, he shut himself up in his own room. He appeared at the dinner hour with a poor excuse. Mrs. Lismore waited until the servant had withdrawn and spoke. "Now, Ernest," she said, "it's time to tell me the truth." Her manner when she said those few words took him by surprise. Instead of looking at him, she played with the food on her plate. Embarrassed, he answered, "I have nothing to tell." "Were there many visitors at the gallery?" she asked. "About the same as usual." "Any that you particularly noticed?" she went on. "I mean, among the ladies." He laughed awkwardly. "You forget how interested I am in the pictures," he said. There was a pause. She looked up at him. Then she suddenly looked away again. But he had plainly seen it. There were tears in her eyes. "Do you mind turning down the light?" she said. "My eyes have been weak all day." He did as she requested right away. He, too, was happy to escape the blinding examination of the light. "I think I will rest a little on the sofa," she continued. Ernest was seated with his back to her. She stopped him when he tried to move his chair. "I would rather not look at you, Ernest, when you have lost faith in me," she said.